Welcome back to another Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast brought to you by our title sponsor, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. Whether it's tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, construction, or farm equipment, Kubota's got you covered. Now with 9 locations across the state of South Dakota, there's always a dealer nearby. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Jackrabbit podcasts are also sponsored by Culver's of Brookings in Watertown, the home of the Butterburger, Jackrabbit Central, the best place to get your Jacks gear, and the best sports bar in South Dakota, Cubby Sports Bar and Grill. Without further ado, here is the A-Team.
And we're back. Yes, we're all back. The three best friends are back again.
Just in time,
Dallas. Man, good timing.
Perfect.
Thank you, Chad and Dallas, for holding it down last week and having Tanner on. He does a great job when he's on with us, even if he's giving us some shade on Twitter right now, but that's all right.
Tanner pops up. Let's be real.
I love Tanner. I wrote a tweet and like didn't even send it because like,
yeah,
he doesn't have our perspective. Should I say what I wanted? I don't know. Like,
I mean, are there even
when you look at what happened when we hosted it. They talked about us quite a bit. They had the Rinaldi piece. Rinaldi's gone, so they don't do that anymore. They talked about NDSU a bit. I mean, obviously, because they had the legacy, right? And so they're going to talk about that maybe more than we wanted to. But if you go to, like, what it would have been this time, I don't think we get much exposure. Sure, the state of South Dakota gets exposure, but USD gets a fair bit of the exposure that's going to happen. And most of the time they're going to talk about P5 games, and you know, so that's just the way I saw it. I didn't see it as a net positive for us really in any way.
It is. I didn't want to go down that road, but it's the Dakotas would get exposure because that's true. What the rest of the country would see was the Dakotas, mm-hmm. and JSD would get to take some cool pictures of all that stuff set up in their town to show recruits. And that's what the net benefit would have been. But yeah, anyway, well,
you know, they
got this quick.
Yeah, yeah. it to me, it's a zero sum game. If they advance, it costs us a little bit. You know, that's how I see it. And selfish as that might be, that's how I see it. So I don't have to be wrong. I don't have to be right. I could be wrong. Oh, I'm married. Man. I'm wrong all the time.
Oh, same. So how's everybody doing? We launched into that because that's what we may or may not have been texting about since 7 a.m. this morning. But anything new, Chad? Did you get your hole dug or whatever you were doing?
My trench, yeah, it ended up. I had to go get a 100-foot roll of a drain tile, and I was telling Matt beforehand that I might have 10 foot left, and I thought it was going to be a 50-foot long trench to start with. I'm a lot of sore.
You're ambitious. Matt's froze. See, I was debating. I didn't know if my internet was a problem. Oh, there we go. Now he's back.
No, is Matt froze? No, he's just sitting there quietly.
Might be mine. I'm not sure.
I thought you were froze. Maybe he was just stoically thinking.
Well, my internet's been spotty. I keep blinking in and out on sound. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I'm okay. I wish I wasn't traveling. I wish I was at home. I'm a little grumpy for that. But
I've already used my allotted time, Matt. You go ahead.
Sure. So on today's segment of what did Matt do with his Kubota tractor today, let me tell you, today I pushed in fence posts for my snow fence and I moved the chicken coop inside of our barn. So, you know, that's what I did today. The tractor was useful. A bunch of honeydew projects checked off the list. So if you need to get some honeydew projects checked off your list and you need a Kubota product to do it, talk to our friends at the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, 8 current locations, soon to be 9, and they'll hook you up. So, yeah, exactly, Jim. This is what I keep trying to tell Chad.
1,000%. I should have at least rented a piece of equipment. Good thing is I'll never be doing that again. I promise.
Well, so let's get to the game. What did you guys think yesterday? Kind of just a different type of game than you and I, certainly. Illinois State, certainly. UND, certainly. What are your initial thoughts?
My takeaway, I was talking to my dad on the drive up here to the airport, and it's funny how, you know, the Jacks have had a couple games this year where you say, man, they left some points on the table and they just didn't look their best and this and that. Well, lo and behold, those are the two best teams we played. So I think we got to keep that in mind. I know that anybody in that locker room and in the coaches' offices, they're going to say, oh yeah, we didn't play our best and all these things we could have done differently and didn't execute. But my takeaway, I think you said it with a question mark, was, you know, I think SIU is a good football team, Matt, and Ranson Raves today. And yeah, I think they absolutely are. I think, you know, when Stone Labanowitz went on and talked about how their skill players were better, do I think they're better? No, but I think they're really good. And another thing too, that I was, had me nervous going in, back to my dad, is I was talking to him on, I don't know, Friday night or something. And he said, wait, didn't they have like 25 FBS transfers last year? And it was all disappointing. I'm like, oh, that's right. He's like, well, don't you think it would just take about a year for that to come together? And I thought, oh no, you're right. And so I had a little nerves going in, but it was, I don't know. In the end, you come up with a win and there's no reason to apologize for that.
Train.
Oh, there's a train.
Train.
Right on time.
Hey, I feel like maybe we were trying to push the ball a little bit too much in the first quarter, and we were maybe over pursuing just a titch on defense. But I think that goes back to how good that other team was, and they were getting those open lanes for Nick Baker to get through in like the three hole, because we were kind of pushing their guys back, and then all of a sudden there was a spot to run. The pocket's collapsing. That dude's a dude. He's going to take advantage of that. And we saw that time and again. And, you know, our 605 Hogs didn't quite get the push that we wanted them to, you know, kind of got some slough blocks, and that's based on their players being good, you know, and a lot of their penetration was coming around the ends, it looked like, from what I saw. So, I mean, we've played better games, I'd say, probably honestly, but some of that's due to the competition on the field. And, you know, I think the guys will improve. I don't think they're happy with what happened there.
Agreed. I definitely wanted to spend some time tonight before I'd have to jump off here talking about the line play both ways. And I wish that I had a better understanding. Matt disappeared, everybody. For those,
I think the train was blowing the whistle again.
Either the train or his internet actually.
Internet, yeah.
But so here's the deal. So let's talk O-line first. And I haven't gone back and rewatched, and with that god awful camera work, it's pretty tough to tell live, which we can talk about later. But you know, when we all kind of vent to go, man, the Hogs didn't have their best game, it's because we've basically seen perfection out of an offensive line for most of this season, and the results weren't quite there in terms of you know, some of the explosive running plays and just the giant holes that we normally expect to see. So I don't know. Was there something that SIU threw at us out of their, out of the back half of their front seven that caught us off guard? Because it's not like we haven't seen that sort of front before. We have dominated that kind of front. This sort of experience that's coming back, it's not like they're going to get confused. There's nothing they're not going to see. Or is it like Stone was referring to, and the dudes that they have at linebacker, behind their defensive line, was their D-line, you know, just a little bit bigger than a UND? And those skill position players were the FBS cast-offs or transfers that came in and were just a little bit tougher to deal with. And I'm not sure what the case is.
Yeah, I don't know. I do have one question for you, if you're going to have to leave real quick. You're kind of a Minnesota fan, right? A Minnesota guy.
What sort of Minnesota? Yes. I like any other – see, like any true Minnesota fan, I need you to qualify what you mean by a Minnesota fan.
As far as the Gophers, like, oh, gotcha. Specifically, if you're gonna pick an FBS team, is that a team you're rooting for?
Okay, so I've vented on this before. Back when Glenn Mason did not offer me a scholarship, it caused me to like, I will cheer for them until they lose, and then I will cheer for them to lose the rest of the way. And that's kind of how it is every season. But no, it's the Minnesota team.
Last game specifically.
I like DJ Fleck. I'll say that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. But the last game specifically. Cheering for Iowa, cheering for Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota, 100%.
Right. And so we saw how that transpired, right? And everybody's up in arms about it. But if you're an Iowa fan that wants to be mad, watch what happened to us. I mean, that was way worse as far as the officiating on the field. Not the outcome,
but the officiating part.
Right. In both cases, the refs need to blow the damn whistle. That solves that problem. Is there not a rule that when somebody fair catches it and they actually complete the catch, aren't you supposed to blow the whistle? Alex can chime in on that.
Yeah, that frustrated me in the Jacks game that was the one thing where even my wife and my son and everybody else is like, they didn't blow the whistle. They didn't blow the whistle. And that Stone and the other guy missed that part of it when they're talking about, oh, was his hand high enough and this and that. Dude had his back turned. They could not see it. They slowed up, realized there wasn't a whistle, and then half-ass tackled him. Like, that was the clearest thing in the world. Yeah, that was frustrating. And I know calls get missed, but
yeah. And it wasn't like it was malicious either, the hit. Like, none of them drilled them.
I'll lay you down now because that's what I have to do.
Yeah, they just like, it's time to go to bed. It's not like, well, because they held up. Like, they took a couple steps and they're like, no whistle? Okay, we're tackling your ass.
Yep.
Like, yeah, what a weird play. And the officiating, I don't want to bag on it too bad, but even on the radio, it felt weird. Can I say weird instead of bad? Yeah. It felt weird. You know, Jimmy said in his after shows, like, there were some penalties there that I didn't even know existed, which I thought was kind of a funny comment coming from a head coach.
So that's true. And you can blame, you know, we can look at four of those 12 penalties, Matt. Is that right?
Something 13 for 125.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. So, you can look at four or five of 13 and be like, oh, that was a bad call. Okay. Those three of those five bad calls are going to happen every game. It's going to happen to the other team. You just don't recognize it at the time. And in the end, like, I don't know. That was my biggest frustration coming out of the game was, those penalties. We had 13 for 125 in USD. You're going to go in there and lose that ball game. And I'm curious, the other thing I would love to see, Matt, if we can get an intern budget, that'd be great, is a breakdown of penalties from the year in terms of there's different kinds, right? There's effort penalties, which if you have three or four false starts, three or four offsides, and, you know, maybe a holding and whatever, right? Like those things happen, and that is fine. That means you're playing hard. You're not doing a bad job. That's why there are officials, because those things happen. But then there's also just ridiculous mental issues. There's also coaching penalties too that could have been prevented by coaching. And those are the things that I hope, I'm sure that Jimmy is taking very seriously and doing things about this week.
Yeah. Hey, this comment from Y-Town. How about that SIU field goal at the end that certainly looked like a miss to this YSU fan? It's funny because, like, even our player on the field, I think that was Tucker Large at the back, signaled no good, you know, and was kind of half celebrating until he saw the ref's arms go up. Watching it live, I thought it was no good. And, you know, it's just interesting, right? Because the ref's right under the field goal post, so they can kind of see. But at no point did it truly look like it was good to me, at least on the watch.
I got our five text messages.
Yeah, I thought our group consensus was, at best, it was over the pole, not inside the pole.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it was not good.
Interesting. Yeah. I thought, I don't know if you guys have touched on it. I apologize. My internet, I never have internet problems anymore.
It's Alex's fault.
Yeah, it's Alex. Gave me the cold. All right. Mark didn't have his best game passing. Wasn't as sharp as we have seen this year at times. But man, I thought his run there in the fourth quarter to extend that drive on third and eight or whatever it was just fantastic. I don't know. The guy just is so, I don't know, just a gamer, just gutsy.
That was the sort of dagger. Awesome. That was the sort of dagger that we would have seen at a North Dakota State 7-8 years ago. Yep. Right. Like, that is just, I think Stone touched on it, of like, if you just follow box scores, you're not impressed by Mark. But if you ever watch him, you understand, like, he's just going to do what needs to be done. He's a leader. He's a gamer. Use whatever word you want. Yeah. And that's 100% what that was. That was, I'm going to do this thing now because this is what has to happen. What is it does remind me of some of the running quarterbacks at North Dakota State of old. sorry, there's a, who's the guy before?
Easton Stick?
Stick, yes. That was a total Easton Stick run. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in the best sort of way. It was just this like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. That just happened. That probably sealed the game. And it did. That was awesome. Stick. Yep.
Yeah, you know, how bad do you suppose Davis wants his throwback on that gadget play? He overthrew, the Yankee by like a country mile. Good God. Yeah,
I hope to God in some universe, Pierre Strong Jr. saw that. And Pierre Strong Jr., for those of you that don't remember, has like a 500 quarterback rating all time because he has like seven passes for seven touchdowns or something like that. And I hope he saw that and immediately got a hold of Isaiah and said, dude, what's going on? Like, you had one job, but no, it's
he got called out by Tyler a little bit, and he just kind of sloughed it off on the post game. He's like, well, yeah, you know, and it was there, right? It was completely there. That really changes the complexity of the game if we make a home run play like that. But
I mean, he's an athlete. He makes that throw 8-9 times out of 10 and just missed. And that's, you know, that's why you only break those things out sometimes, because your quarterback throws the ball and your all-world running back doesn't necessarily.
So we're without Matt here again. Did I write down who we have for players of the game?
Well, back up. Before we jump in here and push the forward, I did want to talk defensive line if we could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and Nick Baker getting to run a little bit, because it's very much a give and take. And what we gave him, while it's frustrating, when you see a quarterback run for 9 yards on 3rd and 7, right? Like, that is the most infuriating thing ever, especially as a D lineman. Like, that is just – it feels soul-crushing at the time. However, like, you are – to some extent, that's kind of what you're just giving them. And I know Bobbitt going in said we were going to contain him with 4 guys. And that's what we did for the most part. And sometimes a guy that athletic, Nick Baker is a great quarterback. And sometimes he's going to make those plays. And you just, you know, it's you can't go 3 and out every single possession. So I thought that was handled well. I thought we kept him contained relatively effectively. I could see, you know, there's some stunts and things that I'm curious how the discussions in the film room were today. There's a couple times I'm going to pick on Williams just because he's the one I remember, but there's 2 or 3 times that an interior lineman would loop out and they'd run a stunt. And without getting too much into it, obviously that's, you know, if you're going to contain a quarterback with just 4 guys, you need to move them around and do things they don't expect. And Matt, I feel like this is a weird thing you know. Nick Baker's right-handed, correct? He's not a lefty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Okay. So there's a couple times where we allowed him to run to his right. And if you are the left interior defensive lineman and you run a stunt where the DN goes first, it's human nature to want to take this tight corner and hope he gets flushed forward and you can have this amazing tackle. However, you need to stretch that vertical. You can't expect that you're going to make some amazing move on that athlete when you're 290 pounds. That's just not how that works, right? Especially when he's going to the right, you need to take this stupid outside loop and actually kind of overrun him to bring him back and let your, whether it's your nickel, your outside linebacker, whatever, come in and scrape up, because there's probably somebody, because you're running zone because you only got 4 guys, right? So you got zone behind you. You need to take this extreme outside loop to actually bring him back, because you can't let him sprint out to the right, you know, and think you're going to outrun him to the sideline, because you're not. So anyway, I think that happened like 3 plays. Again, I'll pick on Williams because I remember he did it once. But otherwise, they had a good game plan for that.
So really, to make that more simple for my dumb brain, you want to set contain a little bit less, a little bit more, and take the diagonal less, right?
Exactly. You suddenly need to go, your 295-pound body needs to go from like the guard all the way out to like, you know, past kind of where the outside linebacker would be and force him back in, which is the way that generally is going to set up. So anyway, that was my one. I really liked the game the Chain Gang played. That Q sack strip fumble was, my God, that was so fun to watch. I'm curious what he read there. It was, who the heck was it? Was it Gernday? Was it Tolu? Somebody had tweeted out that it was a, I forget what he called it. transition pass rush because he read, I don't know what in the hell the SIU D linemen were doing or O linemen were doing. Mm-hmm. There was the guard or the tackle just stood there. The guard stepped down and the back stepped up and they all just stood there. So he read run. Yep. And then he basically just whoop slipped in between them and did exactly what he needed to do. That was a brilliant play.
In the post game, he said he was surfing. What's that mean, Dallas? Do you know that term?
Is that like, where you just ride the line down instead of try and penetrate? Yes.
So I've never heard that term, but I guarantee it. I would just call it slow playing because if you step forward and nothing touches you, you're about to get your ass kicked by someone you don't see. That's the thing you need to understand at DN is if you take a step and a half and you're not touched, you need to go, oh God, pain is coming. So you stop and you squeeze it down slowly. You need to get horizontal as quick as you can. And he basically just kept going horizontal and just slipped right in between him and took it on. So that was awesome.
Yeah. Hey, it's great to see Quentin, you know, being healthy and making an impact. A lot of love for him in the comments. Well-deserved because, you know, he's battled through injuries these last couple of years. And it's just awesome to see him healthy and playing at such a high level as he has the last few weeks here in Valley play. Yeah. So good for Quentin. Yeah.
Another D lineman, if I can keep rambling on about this group, because I love them. Zach Wilson. Getting to see him on the field more, I was going to call him out because he was in quite a bit at the end of the UNI game, right?
Yep.
I believe so. And it caught me off guard because he jumped out, and obviously it's a fresh pair of legs coming in if he came in towards the end of the game, which I think he did. A little bit more, but man, is that guy springy. He has got some pop off the line, seriously caused some problems. And he looked really good last week, yesterday.
And we kind of saw that towards the end of last year too. He started to get some more reps and in the rotation. Whatever he's doing, keep it up. He looks good. So 95 feels like a weird number for a DN though, in my opinion.
Well, it used to be a normal number.
Yeah. It used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terry Youngin brings up a good point. Stallbird has been playing excellent. He's been hitting people like a truck, kind of like we saw out of him the first couple of years that he was around, or first year. I don't remember when it was, when he was snatching people's souls. And he's been doing that again. It's great to see that guy eating. That makes me happy. I don't know if you guys got any further comments.
His closing speed is second to none. I mean, when he diagnoses and commits, I mean, he is on somebody like that. It's so quick.
Yeah. Yep. Have you guys talked about Dustman at all? Have I missed that with my internet?
No, we have not talked about it. No. We haven't done game balls or anything. Damn.
Please, lead the way.
Man, Dustman was sensational, man. His punting, 54 yards of punt? Didn't even – and the coverage teams along with it, right? They didn't give Isaiah Hartrop, who's a good player – they didn't give him any room to breathe, and he finished with -6 yards. And I mean, the field goal, ice in his veins, obviously that was great. Obviously the kickoff right at the end. Yeah.
All of that. The I forget, was it his first punt where he flipped the field from like the 5 to the 35 or what? I'm exaggerating a little bit, but man, that was big.
Yeah. That kid decided to let it go and it rolled for like an extra 30. That was a great punt.
Gorgeous. And then making the field goal at the end, basically, you know, ending the game, and then, you know, the kickoff afterwards. And you know what, he missed the one, but that was 48,
I think that's what they said on the broadcast,
something like that. I mean, you know what, yes, you
45 or 48, something like that. Yeah,
whatever it is, you miss some of those. That's why you don't just get 3 points. And that totally happens.
Yep, exactly.
And yeah, to come back and just absolutely without question drill the one, do what you need to do. Great game. I'm glad you called that out this morning.
Yep. Yep. And then how about that TD by Wildy that nobody got to see? Thanks for that one, Corey Caraway. Dallas.
G-F-W. G-F-W.
There we go.
Man.
Oh, you're so funny. What I love about our listeners is how many people got that.
Yes.
You know, and when like Matt's just like butt texting again or whatever, or butt tweeting.
No, it's GFW.
God, that was funny. I just love that people get that. So good props to you, Dallas, for starting that. And he's fast, huh?
God, man. He's good. And what about to go back to Stone again, calling him out in the most endearing way for being a 19-year-old from Sioux Falls?
Yep.
It just seemed like, dude, he's like, look at him. He's a 19-year-old from Sioux Falls, and he can do this already. Like, and that's, again, that's in no way, you could tell Stone meant that as the biggest compliment he could possibly give him. Of like, this isn't some man child that came in, you know, he's still maturing into being a grown man, but my God, how good is he? And man, is he going to cause problems from here on out?
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited to watch the kid develop.
Yep. Are we ready for game balls before Dallas has to get out of here?
Sure.
Oh God, yeah, I gotta go. Yep. Yeah. Game balls.
Yeah. Are you gonna go soft and all give right. it to a position group again? Like you did in Rants and Raves. Sorry.
He's gotta go with Rants and Raves. He already published what he did.
Please.
Go ahead, Matt.
Exactly. Sorry. You can go, Dallas.
I don't remember what I picked.
I can tell you. Offense, Isaiah and Amar. You went with two people. Defense, Chang Gang. Special teams, Hunter Dustman.
And we'll go. God, I really love the game the Chang Gang played, but God, you know what? No, give me Quentin Hicks. Just for that play at the end. I love that. We didn't call out. Who is the safety that had that just tomahawk strip at the start? We haven't called it out.
That was Reader, Kill Reader, wasn't it?
My God, that was a man.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then, if our guy doesn't bounce on the ball on his belly, yep. you know,
that was pop out. That was a grown ass man play. That was so fun to watch. I paused it. Hudson was out of the room when that happened, and I ran it back and made him watch it. Anyway. So yeah, let's go with Q just for that, making that one giant play there at the end, kind of as an out of the rest of the Chain Gang. Offense is tough because nobody like just balled out, you know, that you could see. You know, the fact that you just kind of gave it to the running back room, they, you know, got it done, did what they needed to do. Well, I gotta copy you on that, Matt. I don't have a better answer.
All right.
And then obviously Fair special enough. Teams, Dustman, damn it, good job.
Chad hates it. Chad just is just over there.
Hey, it's okay. I can do you one better. I'm going to give it to Dallas Beanham because I feel like his interception was a turning point in the game. If it wasn't for Dallas Beanham, I would have given it to Ryan Van Morrow because he was an animal all game. Some other people have pointed that out in the comments.
Yep.
And on offense, man, I don't know how I don't pick Mark. It's the easy pick, but that kid's just so good at everything he does. Yeah, he was a little unmark-like, if that's a thing, in the first quarter, you know, and he got an interception that was 100% not his fault.
That was just not his fault. Yeah,
that was not his fault. Sorry, bud, that's on your stats, but you didn't cause that. And and Hunter Dustman is the obvious for special teams. So, I mean, that's going to be a consensus there.
Cool. All right, Matt, before you go, I got to bail everybody. Thank you again for moving it. Anybody that's watching live, sorry it's moved because of me, but that's all I got.
Well, we love having you, D.
Dallas, text me your picks for next week just in case. All right. Just in case you don't get logged back in time.
All right, when I get to the gate, I will do that. All right, bye.
Sounds good. See you, dude. Bye.
Steph Meyer mentions it's awesome to have Bach back in the lineup. Couldn't agree more. It's good to see him getting some reps. He's a game changer when he's out there. I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah. Hey, game balls are presented always, as always, by Jackrabbit Central. Be sure to stop in and grab your Jack's gear. Downtown location is open and it looks very nice from the pictures. Obviously the stadium story, we have two more home games where you can hit that up beforehand. Cause I don't think they're allowed to sell during the playoffs, unfortunately, or online, get it ordered. I'm excited. We're coming back with the kids on November 4th for the Dakota Marker game. I'm sure we'll be stopping in the store ahead of time. And then Chad, of course, my kids got to see you. So that's like the highlight of their trip. So
I love your kids. They're the best. You know, I wish I had something. Maybe I'll have to buy a hat or give them to them or something. I don't know.
No.
I won't do that. Okay. Dad says, no, don't need that crap. Interesting question here from Deb Grunowski. She wants to know what we thought of the unsportsmanlike on Nick Baker. I don't know. It was kind of a week, but you don't do that right in front of an opposing bench.
No.
That being said, there was a little bit of, you know, we did a little something to him when he was getting up, potentially, it looked like. So, I don't know.
Yeah. It
no call would have been fine with me.
Yeah, though. You just have to be smarter than that. Yeah, run away, run back, and, like, pump your arms up. Don't stand there in the opponent's face and do it. That's going to get flagged a lot. So, yeah. Speaking of, we just talked about the Mark's interception, right? And, you know, not his fault. So I just want to touch on this quick. I love Zach Hines. We've loved Zach Hines for years. For we sure. need to get these younger tight ends involved, right?
Yep.
Somehow. Zach is playing nearly every single snap. He never comes off the field. And I think it's causing his blocking to slip a little bit. And I think instances like that interception where, you know, that wasn't him. We got to get some normally of these younger gets guys that ball, somehow. Right? Yeah. I mean,
they were just saying in the post game last week, how if you get it near him, he's always open. Right. Well, that kind of was like you're pointing out uncharacteristic of him. And, you know, I love having Quentin Christensen on the line. You got to love the Wessington Springs product there. Shout out to the Wessington Springs folks. We know where he's from. But yeah, like you're saying, we need to get some other kids in there too. Maybe that's not the game to do it, I guess. But, that's about all I can say. It would be nice in a less contested game to get him out there.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just interesting, right? We heard Ulpers. We heard about him. We heard about Gannon. We heard about Gormley. And maybe, you know, Cordy Caraway here is saying Ulpers is hurt. Brody Gormley got hurt against Western Oregon, so maybe he's still not ready. I don't know. I just would like to see some more rotation there. Zach, again, he's a 6'7", 260-pound guy, like playing every single snap, running down the field 20 yards. That's got to be exhausting. So, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
I sure couldn't do it, but then again, I wish I was 260 pounds.
yeah, right? Amen to that. Yeah. All right. Should we move on to JSD?
Sure. Just South Dakota. What do we want to say about that other than game day won't be there? We all knew it wouldn't be there. There was a slight chance, obviously, but yeah, it's going to be a majority of blue in the crowd, I'm guessing, because I think we bought a lot of tickets.
You guys are so confident about this. I do think it's going to be like 60-40 red to blue. That's still a lot of blue for an away crowd.
Are we counting the seats that their fans decided not to show up in?
Oh, gosh. Oh. I walked over to the Coyote fan forum just to look. And they're claiming they've had like 20,000 people outside of the Dakota Dome.
For tailgating? Sure.
For tailgating. But like their attendance has been 3,000, 5,000, 7,000. And then there's some comment that they're going to have like 25,000 people at tailgating this year. Or on Saturday. It's just ridiculous, Chad. It's just ridiculous. So anyways,
Alpers is hurt.
Yeah, I said that. I read Cody's comment.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. So anyways, offensively, right? They got Josh Davis. Their offense looks similar to things we've seen in recent past here. Aiden Bauman, left-handed quarterback. He's huge, right? He's 6'5". Big arm. He's not super mobile. He's a lot like Theo Day. He can run if needed, but he's a pocket passer first and foremost. Variety of targets. If they didn't have Carter Bell against Indiana State, they may not have won that game.
Carter Bell is a heck of a player. He really is.
And he has been, right? He has been for a number of years.
Quite a while.
Yeah. So that's someone who running backs. Yep. Jack Martins is a nice complimentary receiver. JJ Galbraith's a really good tight end. So they have three good pass catchers right there. And then you get into the running backs. And Travis Tice, we know about him. He looks really good. The player that I'm a little bit like wondering about, And I don't know, Chad, if you've watched them at all enough this year. Nate Thomas, we've hardly seen him, but when he's played, he's looked okay. But I don't think he had a single carry against Missouri State, and he didn't. He had two carries for 5 yards against Indiana State.
Yeah, so I'm really wondering. Really what's have going anything on against North Dakota State though? Either I don't recall his name being called. So maybe Tice is just the guy, and you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't see mm-hmm. him.
Yeah, I'm curious how we're gonna play this, right? Because Jimmy knows what Davis's offense, or you know, not Jimmy, Jesse Bobbitt now. So it's just going to be interesting how we scheme this up, what Davis can pull out of his bag that's new that we're not suspecting. I don't know. Very interested. And I do think Bauman's a hell of a passer. He has a big arm on him, folks. So that's going to be fun to see. Yeah. I don't know. Chad, what do you think about their offense?
Well, he does have a big arm, but it's not Marfan syndrome. So being 6'5", you're going to have a big arm. He does throw the ball much like his dad. Are you okay over there, Matt?
Like, it's not Marfan syndrome.
I hope you know what that is. Anyway. What?
I do. Anyway, they think Abraham Lincoln had it.
Yeah. Anyway, so dude, he's really efficient too with the ball. He places it quite well where his receivers are the only guys that can get it. You know, he's a good quarterback, right? Probably the best pure passer they've had in the D1 era. Strebler obviously was a great quarterback, but brought that slipperiness running Chris Strevy that he did. More so than just his passing ability, you know, and mm-hmm. Josh Davis is a really good guy, and he's got quite a quarterback there, and we've seen the results of that. I don't know what else to say. I think our guys are going to be looking to really chomp at the bit there, because our defense is probably looking at, hey, this coach left us. You know, let's see what we can do to this offense, right? Yeah, it's going to be a small narrative.
It's, you know, yeah, getting some questions about their line depth and things like that. Scott Russ asked, does USD have any depth on their lines? And that's a great, great question. You know, it's their offensive line is much better than it was.
Yes.
And they're pretty good in the run game, I'd say. But passing wise, they're still giving up a couple sacks a game. Indiana State had some pretty good success on some stunts and some blitzes from the next level. I think he came down, got sacked twice, but got off his mark a number of other times. And again, if you get him moving, that's a chance for a pick, things like that. So, yeah, offensive line, they're okay. On the flip side, defensively, they're really good. I know they've given up some points the last couple weeks. But their linebackers, Hillis, is one of the best. What's the other kid that's local, that, Mertens that, or something like that?
Yeah. Was he number 69? He had a day against NDSU. I thought his last name started with a G. I can't remember, mm-hmm. but, they got some dudes on defense.
Yeah. He's the D tackle. Yeah.
Yeah. They got some dudes on defense. Yeah. No doubt. I do agree a little bit.
Miles Harden.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of names that are familiar, right? So they've had these guys. I think they're using that COVID year to their advantage, which is obviously what our guys are doing too. I was going to say I agree with Chris Brown's comment here. I think one of the keys for our success is just get up early and make them play from behind. That's going to take some of the air out of the dome too, which – oh, yeah, Mogensen, that's the dude. Yeah, he definitely was a dude in that game.
Yep.
So I don't know what you think, Matt, but I always like it when we're playing with a lead, and we seem to do very well when we put up a lot of points early. That's kind of been the Coyotes' MO. I didn't get to catch this last game, but the last couple, they'd get a bunch of points and then survive till the end. Well, you know, that'll catch up to you. So if they try that with our team, good luck. Because we definitely have the offensive firepower to score a bunch of points real quick if we need to.
Yep. Jim Poppin says that it was 3-3 at half with Indiana State. It was interesting. That was an interesting game. Indiana State really Indiana stated themselves on a number of plays in the red zone. That game should have been, I don't know, 9-3 at halftime at least, right? I don't know. The USD, again, like they have all this talent, but they have some really mind – they just have some huge lapses in play at times, and that's what I've seen this year. But then on the flip side, right, their offense can be super explosive kind of out of nowhere. So I really think we do got to get a lead on these guys early. I would like to see that, get the energy out of the dome, because their crowd's going to be fired up. We know that about them. Speaking of, you know, getting a win down here, Quentin Hicks brought up a huge point in the post-game press conference yesterday with Tyler, saying that this graduating class of, you know, his class that he came in with has never won in the Dakota Dome. And makes you kind of wonder about that, thinking ahead, right? That's interesting. He knows that. He knew that right after this game. So there's definitely some motivation to get a win.
Yeah, definitely a lot of motivation to get a win. Yeah. And I had a thought, but I lost it. Sorry. Oh, I know what it was. You kept saying
that. I like what Jordan's saying here.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I like what Jordan is saying here
in this comment. What the heck's going on? We're lapsing bad. Okay, I'll just talk. Unlike all the other games, there's going to be more pressure than ever before on USD. Most other times, they have nothing to lose. Interesting to see how that affects the game. So again, I mentioned that I wandered over to the Coyote board, and their fans are calling this the biggest game in their program history, right? We heard that last year when the Jacks went down to Missouri State, and they were chirping all week about this is the biggest game in program history. Is Bob Nielsen, Josh Davis, and crew going to be able to, you know, kind of help their players stay in the moment and not focused on that like giant picture view? So thank you for saying that, Jordan. Chad, go.
Yeah. Hey, I was just going to say, I noticed that you kept saying, and you've said multiple times, even amongst our group, at least, that it looked like the Trees left a lot of points on the board. And that is another key to our success, I think, is not leaving points on the field. I guess I said on the board, I meant on the field, you know, leaving points out there that you should have had. And that's what you meant, I think, by when you said Indiana stated themselves. So, you know, they're actually a decent team and could have maybe stole that one had they not done that. So we got to make sure that we don't do those things to beat ourselves, right? I mean, we did a few of those things this last game. I'm talking about penalties. We need to get that under control. There's going to be a lot of emotion in this game. We need to, as we heard all last year, win the response.
Yeah. Matt Carul asks, would STSU ever be able to get an FBS school to come to Brookings? No.
No.
Not until we're FBS, but no.
Thanks, Matt Carul.
So, Chad, let's do some predictions here. Have I heard from Dallas yet?
I don't know.
I have not.
So, I just heard a beep in my headphones that I didn't know what it was. But well, I'm going to take the Jacks always. I've been taking the Jacks.
You know? All right. Well, the Jacks. Who are you taking on? Who's your offensive player of the game?
Offensive player of the game is going to be our tight end that we said maybe didn't look like himself this last game. Number 87.
All right.
Big Ginger.
Zach Hines. All right. I'm going to take Isaiah Davis in this one. I know the Yotes have a good, a good defense, but I like Isaiah Davis in this one. So haven't heard from Dallas yet. Defensively, I am going to take Savion Williamson. I think he has a huge game with Travis Tice running at him over and over and over again.
I don't know. I really like Stalvard for some reason. So I'm going to go Isaiah Stalvard. A little closer to home for him. He likes to play sounds hard. Sounds good. So.
There we go. A lot of GFW in the predictions here in the chat. So Amar, big game. All right. Will the Beast. Love it. All right. And then score prediction here. Terry Union says 41-17. Okay.
Terry Youngin, 41-17. Boy, I'd like to see us get back in the 40s. It being an emotional semi-rivalry game. I'll give him that. It's at least a rivalry game on one side of the ball. I like
31-14. Okay. I'm going to go a little lower scoring again. I'm going to say 27-17.
Wow, that's exactly what I just put up from Seth Meyer. Did you read his comment?
Nope, I did not. Nope.
Well, he agrees with you.
Jim's right there too, so yeah.
Kevin Marshall says 24-13. Yeah, Jim said 24-14. We got a 42-10, Jax. I'd love to see it. 17-20, Jack Rabbits. I think that, yeah.
Yep.
I want to say this. I'm going to put this out into the ether. There is going to be no me in attendance. And the last two times I've attended, we know the results. So perhaps that'll help.
All right.
We shall see.
Fair enough. Hey, do you want to, we've had a few comments about some of the other games. Do you want to talk other Valley games like we have?
Yeah, sure. Weeks? Let's go ahead. Which one do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about that clunker that UND had down in Cedar Falls.
Yeah. I guess the NDSU hangover is still a thing. I mean, let's not give NDSU that much credit. They like to take the credit there. It's fine. It's true because it was them. They're on an emotional high. They maybe got a little bit too big for their pants. And let's add the point that Brendan always points out, that the undies don't play well outside of the Alaris Center. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. a factor. Anything to add to that?
No, it just, like, they looked awful. And you and I, after looking awful against us, looked really good again. It, you know, they were moving the ball on the ground with a backup linebacker. Theo Day looked comfortable. Their defense was flying around like crazy. So I don't know. UND, just until you can start winning on the road, you're not a legitimate contender.
Maybe they looked really good again when they weren't playing against us, because the last game they were playing us. Just thought.
That's true. And we're kind That's of true. A Brendan keeps team. Saying that he has to start measuring. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
so next game to go over, right? We talked about South Dakota and Indiana State a little bit. Let's go. Am I that delayed? Oh, man.
You're a bit delayed. Yeah. Let's
talk about Youngstown versus Illinois State. Youngstown won 41-38, last second field goal. I believe this score was like, shoot.
Yeah, Matt, your internet's going real great right now. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what a great game for them to win. That's a quality win. It's not looking good for the Redbirds' playoff hopes at this point. It's just where it is. I don't know what there's. I guess Alex could chime in on what the rest of their schedule is. I read his thing, but then I don't really commit that to memory, unfortunately, as to what the rest of their schedule is. So they might still be.
So, yeah. So this morning I actually took a look at it, and Alex got all mad because I was stepping on his turf. But
that's right.
Illinois State has UNI left, at Missouri State, Murray State, and then at UND. So really, I'm predicting them to have like a 6-5 overall record, go 2-2 these last couple weeks, and that wouldn't be good enough to get into the playoffs at this point.
Not this year. So, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then. YSU, let's talk about them a little bit. They're in an interesting spot. Missouri State coming up, at Indiana State, hosting us, and then at Missouri State. So I have them going with 3 wins, 3-1 to finish and finish the year 7-4. Like, that'll get them in the playoffs. So,
and we're going to have to be careful, as much as they're a lower half team, playing in the Ice Castle has been not mm-hmm. great for us historically. It's been somewhere where we always struggle, even when we win.
Yep.
They're a quality team. Look what they did to SIU.
Yep.
Obviously, they made them look pedestrian compared to what they looked like yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, they're a good team. They're on the rise.
Yeah. It, you know, I'm really interested, right, in that, you know, what Brendan said with the post-game show with Zach Borg, that if Nick Baker played how he plays against us every week, he'd be All-American or whatever he said. They'd be undefeated the rest of the way out. So hopefully Baker can keep that his play high so that they have a few upsets here. So other games, Murray State and Missouri State. Missouri State's quarterback was back, just like Alex said was going to happen. They got a win, I believe kind of a last second type of deal or final possession to beat Murray State. And Murray State, you know, honest to goodness, they've impressed me this year. You know, some of their games, I thought they'd be awful. No, definitely not. Definitely not. So there's actually some potential there that they could be a halfway decent program, at least better than Western Illinois. We're getting the better end of that trade, I think.
Seth Myers is disagreeing with my comment, and way that things have played out. Maybe I'm wrong because we don't know where UNI is and we don't know where UND is. And other than us and JSD, sorry, at this point, I mean, kind of the top two programs in the Valley. I don't know who else is there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Kind of going over schedules some more. USD obviously has us, and then this is the game to watch. They get to go to SIU the next week. We know that they've had road struggles in the past. This year's team is obviously a little bit different, but are they going to have a similar hangover to what UND, you know, experienced, you know, physically, emotionally after a big rivalry game? Obviously, we're hoping that they are coming at it from a loss, that we get the win. But USD again then hosts, after SIU, they come home and they host UND, which I'm predicting a win for them. And then they are at Western Illinois. I have them finishing the season 8-3. So that'd be a good resume for them.
That might be good enough for FBS loss.
So 8-2, right? Exactly. The way it's going this year.
And Ron Lonnie asked, will a four-loss Valley team make the playoffs? Traditionally, if you get to 7-4, you make the playoffs. That's kind of been conventional wisdom, right, Matt? You know, so.
Yeah. Well, it depends, too, right now, because, geez, Holy Cross getting beat.
That's true.
Yesterday by Lafayette, like, is Holy Cross, is the Patriot League going to get two spots if they're not the automatic qualifier, you know? Holy Cross is a name right now. So who knows? Their defense is very good right now.
That's a bad loss. So
yeah.
And you know, there's a bunch of teams with that. Like, it's feasible that NDSU doesn't make the playoffs this year. Can you imagine what we were talking about earlier, that they lose the last three games, which potentially could happen.
Let me go over their schedule quick. So next week they get Murray State. They should get a win out of that. Then they're at SDSU. And then they host SIU, who's played them tough in the past and beat them before. And then they're at UNI to close out the season. They could potentially be 6-5, 7-4. So that's just unheard of in Bison Lions, and really interesting. And then UNI, you know, they're at Illinois State this week, and then they host Western. They're at Missouri State, and they host NDSU. They could be 7-4. That last game in Cedar Falls is going to be huge. UNI versus NDSU. That's going to be fascinating. I can't wait. These last 4 weeks are going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more chaos like we've seen all year in the FCS. I'm interested in what transpires in Fargo if they do lose the last three games. Bang, bang, bang. It's not a good look. People were unsettled last year. They came in, had an out of conference that initially looked like a really great resume, Cam Miller was, you know, the most efficient quarterback on the face of the earth. And everybody was like, here's the guy we've been waiting for.
Yep.
And then it's the wheels have fell off up there since then. And yeah, I don't know.
It just Dallas has exactly. Yeah. I'm 100% with you, Chad. Like is like the rest of the FCS outside of like the top of the Big Sky, just that watered down. Because NDSU destroyed these other teams.
And the top of the Big Sky is going to be interesting to carry out the year. I mean, Montana's back? Question mark. They certainly look better with their other quarterback, KP Marshall. You know, Kevin would weigh in on that, I'm sure. It could be that it's I don't know. There's some potential that even Montana State could lose two games at the end of the year. You know, and they're the only other team that's looked like they belong in the national championship game. If we just had to pick two people at this point in the year, I don't think, yes, he says they won't lose two games. I agree. They probably won't. They're probably going to beat the Grizz for sure. But Idaho's, you know, I mean, X got that squad looking eckin' good. I'm not good at that.
No, no, but that's okay. We need Dustin to come in here and hit us with a couple. So
yeah. I was replacing another word with CK on that is what I was doing. Yeah, anyway.
I get it.
It's not funny.
I don't know. You guys, I don't know. Like I think again, Holy Cross, if they get an Army win, I think Holy Cross gets in. I don't know.
I mean, the FBS wins always a feather in the cap when it comes time to the selection for the committee. But anymore, do we even know what the committee's rules are or what they go by? Because last year it was a complete surprise, some of the things that happened. And, like, obviously Montana just bought their way in. I mean, that's what happened, right? They just said, well, we're going to make money off that game. So that's, they get in. And you know, now D2 wins count all of a sudden. I mean, I'm not saying that they didn't before, but like that was the understanding everybody had more or less. Like a bad D2 win counted, or a bad D2 loss would count against you, but a huge D2 win was like kissing your sister, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, good comment here from Rabid Rabbit. Both Furman and WCU, Western Carolina, top 10. Yeah, I want to go back and watch that game. Because I don't get to watch enough of these games. I'm following the Valley games pretty closely on Saturday. But this is one that I definitely want to go back and try to see, because this is two good programs that we may run into in the playoffs potentially. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This weekend or this week's going to be interesting. USD fans are definitely feeling themselves, feeling their team right now. And I think that, you know, there's obviously some disappointment about the game day thing, but they're lasered in. They're going to want to prove that they deserve to have game day there. I don't know. I'm just excited for it. I love rivalry weeks.
Randy Jacobs brings up a good point that we should mention. The committee does announce their top 10 teams this Thursday. And somebody was joking that watch them have NDSU in the top five. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, to see that. I mean, they shouldn't be, but us, Montana State, right? Idaho's good. Like we said, you know,
we think USD's good. Southern Illinois is good.
WCU. Southern Illinois has a weird clunker loss. Well, which is that a bad loss? We don't know. Maybe it's not a bad loss. I mean, don't underestimate the Penguins. They're a heck of a team.
Yeah. Yeah. This segment, talking about all these games and previewing, looking around the valley, presented by Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. If you're not going down to Vermilion for this game, get to Brookings. And go to Cubby's. And if there's not room in Cubby's, the downtown Brookings group is going to have the game up on the big screen. And it sounds like you're going to be able to come and go, watch the game there, go order some food, bring it back, whatever. It's going to be a great atmosphere. And so go check that out. Go to Cubby's. And then if there's not room, go out in the street and enjoy it. So
dumb question because I'm ignorant on this, but are they hosting somewhat of a beer garden there? Like where a person can bring their drink from a bar?
I'm not 100% sure. And that's why I kind of stopped myself and said food.
Okay.
So yeah,
okay.
I'm sure something we check. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could reach out to the Brookings Chamber people. They probably know. Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah. Just comment on their photo or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think it's an awesome deal and people should show up. I think it'd be a great time regardless. You know, I mean, what college kid in Brookings hasn't pre-gamed? We all know what that means.
For sure. What else, Chad? Anything else we need to bring up?
I mean, there's no hat cardboard this week, but that's because this is a crispy hat that's, you know, been kept nice.
Yeah. I do want to say thanks to you guys for getting all the content out last week. 4 shows, 5 articles, all the podcasts up. I just want to say thank you. I was able to go on vacation and not stress about any of it. You guys took care of everything. So thank you, Ben, Chad, Alex, Brendan, Dallas. For all you guys do, really, really appreciate it. And it was a good vacation with my family. So I appreciate you guys.
And Ben was star of the week. Do you want to comment on your trip at all? I mean, tell me just a little bit. I should have asked about that at the beginning. We all want to know how great it was. What is it great as the photo that you sent the group? Cause that photo.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. Traveling with 3 kids under 8, on a trip like that, we went to Cancun resort down there. It's pretty stressful. So it's not truly a vacation. It's their vacation. And it's mom and dad chasing them around a bunch, but it was a blast. Good food, good drink. You know, got some sun, so I'm ready for winter now. So, yeah.
Right on. You did ask if I had anything else to say. And I do have one last thing that I need to mention. And for those 77 folks of you that are on here, thanks for staying on till the end of this thing. It's always where I drop my little nuggets for tomorrow. Deb Granossi is going to be on the podcast. I have confirmed with her already today. We're going to have our new segment with her and should be really interesting. So we'll have her on for probably the first half of the show or so. And we'll probably field a couple of questions from everybody.
And what's that segment called, Chad?
Mothers I'd Like to Hear From.
All right.
Yes.
There we go. Spell it out, folks. all right. Let's go. Let's get a win. Let's beat these guys, huh?
Yeah, that's what AD Kankel says. You know, Alex, our boy.
Let's go. All right. With that, thank you, everyone. Please like, share, subscribe. One brag about our team here just for a second. We've set our record already for yearly views on the blog. We're almost to 100,000 listens on the podcast on
Spotify.
Spotify now. Thank you.
Yep.
Used to be Anchor. And just thank you guys for engaging with our comments again, our content. Please like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff that we ask you to do. With that, go big, go blue,
go Jacks.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, go